Hello, it is the Little Mental Health Project, take two, because someone's phone keeps ringing. Today, oh boy, I am here with my boyfriend. I'll just let him introduce himself.
Hello guys, this is Karma. Yes, her boyfriend. Yeah, and I'm here. Let's do this.
Okay, so if you guys remember, well, the avid listeners, if you guys remember, I last had Karma on here together with Mwai. That was 2021, in December 2021. And yeah, it is.
It's a long time.
That is actually how we met. Because, you know, I had him come on the podcast and he obviously had other intentions, you know.
Remember what we agreed?
What did we agree on?
Let the, those that listen
decide.
Yes.
Okay.
But I remember I was here in December 2021. Mm-hmm. It was a good conversation, right?
Yeah, it was. And at the end of that conversation, I said, oh, the people in your life must be so lucky. Refreshing.
I remember that. We talked about my son a lot.
Yeah, we did.
And my friends and my life. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah?
Yep.
Do you want us to, you know, dive into that? Talk about your son a lot?
Yeah, but yeah, it's cool. You know, after today, I still feel the same about him. So, yeah.
What is, I still feel the same. It's,
you know, people change. You know, people change, but my son is amazing.
Over there, young children, I mean, like,
even
if they're
kids,
a teenager, like, maybe they, like, start being problematic, then you're just like, hey.
I don't want you anymore. Take it back where it came from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but even kids, I've, you know, even kids, I've encountered kids that go like, you're six and this is how problematic you are.
Mm.
So yeah. People,
are you dissing other people's children?
Not at all.
Is that what you're doing right now?
Their parents love them like that. I love mine mellow. My son is chill.
Oh, you know? Boy. What? Yeah.
Actually,
are you,
Kendrick is chill. Now
are
chill.
You dissing other people's children?
Not at all. If it came out like that, I apologize.
Oh, my boy.
Yes.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Mm. Okay, so Karma, like he said, his name is Karma. When he came here last time, we basically spoke about a lot about, like, you know, men's mental health and, like, you know, how, you know, men process and stuff like that, and, like, you know, his circle of friends and, like, you know, how they're able to, like, you know, talk to each other when, like, you know, people are struggling and, like, you know, going through the different challenges that life throws at them, you know. And I know most recently you did that mental health first aid thing. Do you want to walk me through what that was like and, like, what things have changed, like the new perceptions you have, you know, towards,
yeah,
like mental health and, like, how to handle, like, you know, people who are struggling and all that?
Yeah, true. So I got the opportunity to join.
Shout out to Mwai.
I was about to say that myself.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no. So, as you know, Mwai is a good friend of mine. She approached me and said, is this it's a course. It was conducted by a very passionate lady from the US. So I jumped in, there were a couple of us. So we did, it was something for the youth. It was a youth mental first aid
I'm a youth
course. Yeah, but, you know, I can go up to 30. We can, you know, listen to people who are having problems up to 30. But it was more targeted at teenagers and everything, and I loved it because of that, because sometimes we ignore, we say young people problems aren't really problems because they haven't seen the world, but it's not like that.
Like you dissed other people's children?
Yeah, don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
I love kids.
That actually doesn't come out, yeah, right. What do you mean you love kids?
Let me talk back to the subject. It was nice, it was amazing. We learned, it was intense.
Mm.
It was two Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
5 hours online.
Oh, damn.
But due to COVID, at least we've learned to be, at least our attention span is more nowadays. So it was great. We learned how, you know, how you can approach somebody that you feel like has a problem.
Mm-hmm.
How you don't make them, you know, close up by bashing them or anything.
Mm-hmm.
How you help them through.
Mm-hmm.
How you suggest for extra help, because you know it's first aid. We can't we can't diagnose, we can't treat ourselves, and you know, so we just have to recognize and, you know, direct them to the right people who can do it. But it was great. And I got certified. So
look at you.
Progress.
Since the training, have you encountered anyone, or like has someone, okay, let me just also give an example of me, because not to say that I can be a handful, but like there's certain times when like maybe I'm like struggling and like I'm not communicating well about those struggles, you know. Okay, let me not give an example of me. Okay, I can give an example of me. It's my podcast.
I get what you're saying.
You get what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Have you been able to like redirect and
it
like
has.
Differently approach that?
Yes, very much, very much. We're taught not to judge. We're taught not, you know, to have patience with people, to understand as well. So it does help in my everyday life, not just you. I've got family, I've got friends who go through things. I know how to, you know, at least ask the right questions nowadays, you know, just to make people comfortable to open up. So it really has helped. It has changed my life, and I love it. And I want to keep on going, you know. So these, no, I wouldn't call it informal, but these at least eased up trainings are good. Because you approach them with, you know, open mind. Not like, oh my God, we're going to write an exam. Oh my God, they're going to judge me. Well, they expect me to do this after this. So it was really great. Yeah, I saw my post on, because I've got a group. So she posted about, I think, graduation and something like that. Meeting up and everything. It's pretty dope.
I won't be around for that.
But yeah.
That sucks. But she did say that there would be an online thing.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely be in attendance of that.
It's not the same, but hey, I'm just saying.
Okay, what must happen now?
I don't know, man.
When you say that, what must happen now? I must quit school and come to your graduation. Is that what you want? Is that what must happen?
The future is great. The future is bright.
Oh, boy.
Never quit school. Always
you
learn.
You sound your age. The old man in you is creeping out right now.
Straight up.
Talking about the future is bright. So outside of that training, like I know, like last time when you were on this podcast, last time when you were on this podcast, you spoke about how, like, you know, when men sit down and like they have alcohol, or like they're watching football, you know, the social things that men do.
Yeah, or we're fixing our cars.
Yeah,
we are Pajijo.
Yes, you're Pajijo and you're doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
Have you been able to like identify like say problems using your newfound training? Because I know your ways were different before, like.
I have, but I would lie to say I've acted. Because you know, you don't just come on to these things. Sometimes when you hear people talk about a story about themselves on a group, they're trying to communicate. Some people don't know how, you know, to get to one person and tell them their problems. They tell it as a joke. So I have, but I haven't really acted or gone to the next stage of saying, oh, my guy, you said this and this. What's going on? Not on the social circles. I'm also reserved type of person, so I don't really
selective introvert.
It's a good way to live, trust me. So but I've approached people, you know, privately, at least me, when they go, they, you know, sometimes it might come as yo, I've got this, I want this, or can you help me out with this? It's the economy we are going through now. You're gonna get a lot of, okay, yo, I need this type of financial help or this. Sometimes it's things that they're maybe just trying to cover up a broader problem. I've noticed that as well. So when that happens, I always say, no, man, you need this, you want to do this, but that won't help you.
Yeah.
What is the problem? What's the cause? So what's the cause, I should say? So yeah, I've gone through such things, and I've used my little skills in the first stage. You know, try to fix other people's issues.
The fixer? Are you calling yourself the fixer?
Yeah, you have problems, but sometimes you are a solution to somebody's problem, even though you're a problem yourself.
And then you in turn create problems as well. No, but like if you are a problem and you're creating solutions, and sometimes your solutions look like problems for the people in your life.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah,
that's deep.
That's a thing.
Okay,
that is definitely a thing.
Alright.
So with the current, I want to call it a pandemic because the numbers are like, the numbers are really alarming. Like, you know, with the current suicide pandemic amongst men. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's keep on yeah. going up.
Yeah. Would you, what is your opinion about what, I know mostly for the most part, the common identified problems for like, the men succumbing to suicide are either financial or like a problem to do, say maybe okay, very
marital
little
issues.
Yeah, marital ooh, very issues. Little. No, statistically the problem is financial problems. You know, they bring up the oh no, it wasn't going well in their relationship,
you know,
a little later, but like the majority of the cases have been, you know, to do with finances. But we can touch on both marital and financial issues. Like as yeah, relationships rather.
Yeah.
As a man, as a human being and then a man, what is your opinion on that? What do you think needs to change? I mean, what conversations need to start happening around finances and say around relationships that need to change in a way that, you know, people are able, because I know like for the most part men don't like sit down and open up because you guys tease one another, you know, you start to say, hey, I love my girl, but this is what's happening, and then you're like, oh, you were so weak, you just need to walk away from that person. What conversations need to change?
You know, it's a big subject. I think last time we touched a bit on this.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Just a little bit, but this time I guess we can go deeper. I'll tell you this. I see a lot of people succumbing to suicide because of finances, and it's also because of relationships. I've seen a couple of stories, and it's the relationships ones that are very crazy, because it'd be like they found messages about in their phone, another man's message in the woman's phone, and this guy commits suicide. I saw something like that, I think, on Zodiac online, I think a couple of weeks ago. So to say the conversation that need to start happening, we've been talking about this and saying people need to talk more. People need to open up, but now I think it's we should go a step further. People need to be honest, not just talk, honest with each other. If I'm in a relationship, say with you, which
say.
I am,
say
okay. So, okay, let's give an example. You and me, I'm working, you are still advancing in your school, you decided to go back to school
again. Your age is coming out.
You decided to go back to school. This
okay.
Don't cheat the people.
Okay.
Yeah, which is good. But if I have a problem, or you have a problem, because your finances are not like the way they were, if you don't open up to me and say, babe, this is what I'm facing and this is what I need help from this. If you come up to me honest, and I'll be honest with you, I'll be like, yeah, I can do this. I can push you on this. Oh, hi. We're in two different countries. What can we work out a business or something that we can do together? Yeah, those type of honesty conversations help a lot, because I think if I'm not honest with what I have, or if you're not honest with what you have, then we create that thing where it's a bubble. It's not true. Whereby you'd be like, he works for one of the best organizations in Africa.
Therefore, give me money.
Give me money. But that's not it. Because, there's so much responsibilities nowadays. And the way our African families are set up, you're not living for yourself. You've got cousins, you've got brothers, you've got sisters, you've got uncles. You even have parents that you need to support. So I think even in this is our level of lifestyle, we are in the mid, I hope.
Middle class?
Yeah, middle class. But imagine the low class people. A guy can't even provide for his wife, maybe.
Excuse me.
She needs something, or the kids need something. It's stressful. And if you don't open up to your wife and say, you know, my job, I'm much, what kind of low level, not low level, middle, what do you call it? The right word. I don't want to offend anybody.
I don't know what you're trying to say. So
okay, the guys. Okay, the laborers.
Okay, so maybe give an example of a guard.
Yeah, but I just wanted to
okay,
go to that level and mm-hmm. say, you know, those guys have got, they have got needs, everybody got needs,
mm-hmm.
and even their spouses want something from them, they yeah. want, you know, things from them, mm-hmm. and if this guy can provide, and you know, he go to work, say he works for me, and he comes to me and say, when I want an advance of, sometimes they'll come to you and say they want double their salary, because that's how the economy is, it's bad,
mm-hmm.
and you'd be like, I can't even ask for that at my office. I can't ask them for a double advance. Mm. It's impossible.
Mm.
I got what you call it, access to loans, but it's not that easy.
Mm.
So once you deny that person, they go back, they can't provide, keep on getting pestered. This is the stuff that, you know, build up, and people can't talk about them in an understandable level. It's a problem.
So do you think like men are being pressured to provide, or inherently men want to provide? Because I'd like to think, okay, okay.
What do you like to think?
I'd like to think that, like the thing you said about having honest conversations, but then also it could be because I'm not the kind to like expect from someone when I don't have, you get
you
what
personally.
I mean? Yeah, me personally, yeah?
Yeah?
So maybe I don't understand the perspective of like, hey, you've got to give me money. Hey, pushing. Because also I think knowing how you're built, like if I decided to, you know, get on that, oh, I'm going to push this person so that they can provide for me,
I'm
you'd be like, sorry, but we're not doing this, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to understand like, I'm trying to just understand.
I'm gonna say I can.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you can't. You don't want anyone to like pester you about anything.
I was
gonna
continue. Are you trying to say I can't be with a gold digger?
What?
It's a joke. Come on, it's a joke.
Again, you are offending people.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
Eh?
I'm sorry.
No, that is not even a sincere apology, man.
I apologize.
Yeah, you can't. I don't know. Maybe I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know about life.
No, but okay. Well, honesty, honest conversation need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, people need to talk about the problems, because you can be honest about something.
Mm-hmm.
You can also be honest about problems. You can also face problems.
Mm-hmm.
People need to face the reality as well.
Mm-hmm.
Live within your means.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that most people don't do.
Mm.
Financial discipline, that's one other thing that we have problems with. Most of us have that problem.
Mm.
You want to have an iPhone 14, but your financial income a month is averaging at maybe 500,000. It's impossible for you to do that.
Mm.
And imagine if you have to rely on somebody to do that, you're going to create problems for other people.
Mm.
Yeah, so, it's hard. It's a lot of stuff that needs to change.
Yeah.
I feel like people need to be responsible. People need to understand that you need to live within your means. That's one problem. I've seen people go through, you know, loan sharks, because just to
impress
people. To maintain a lifestyle that you can't afford anymore, which is very bad. Mm-hmm. And once you get that right, trust me, most of these most of these mental health issues will really not be there. Because it all mostly starts with, I can't get this, I can't have this, then how am I going to get this? You start stressing and everything, it just builds up on that. So I think as people, we also need to look at ourselves and say, okay, before I become other people's problem,
mm-hmm.
what is the things that I need to sort out as myself?
Mm.
I mean, everything starts from within. Happiness starts from within.
I was actually saying, sorry, I don't mean to cut you, but I was actually saying, I think I was having this conversation with you when you were like, I think I sent you something about, you know, where like happiness starts from within and like all that jazz.
Yeah.
And then I say, but you know, you realize that if you're happy on the inside and you're surrounded by people that actually stress you, you know, then that happiness can like diminish, you know, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But then if you're surrounded by people that actually make you happy, then that happiness can, you know, in as much as happiness, in as much as happiness starts from within, but you also need you also need to have a conducive environment for the within happiness to thrive and grow. Because then otherwise, if you're stressing me and I have happiness within, obviously you're gonna put out my candle. Like, it's not gonna, you know, burn as bright as it was before.
Should we say we shouldn't be in places where there's no happiness? It's impossible.
Sometimes it's impossible. It's, yeah, sometimes. Okay, but like, it's impossible because sometimes maybe there'll be a death. So you can't say, oh, I don't want to be a place where, you know, there's no happiness.
Can I sip on a drink? On
yeah, sure. Podcast? Sure, you can.
Water.
Yes, you can. All right,
okay.
You know, sometimes you'd be at like a... there's a death that has occurred in your family. You can't then say, oh, I can't be around here because there's no happiness. I don't mean it in that. Yeah. I don't mean it. But I mean like the choices that you make. Because even sometimes family... because sometimes family can also be stressful. And just because you're related by blood and they constantly stress you, it doesn't mean that you should still be around. You can love people from a distance, you know? You don't have to like visit them every day. If every time you go there, they put you down, then you're also not serving yourself. You get
every
what
time
I mean?
You answer the phone call, they put you down.
Exactly. Then like, just don't pick up the phone, you
yeah,
know?
But, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but it still starts from within.
Yeah. No, granted.
Yeah.
Granted.
Okay, so what we're saying is you should also be around environments that are good for your own happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think let's put it that way.
So you need, so I need to not work because the office environment is very stressful.
Why are you working for, imagine if you're working for an environment, an office where you're stressed, that would be bad.
Yeah. I think I told you about like my previous job when I was in audit and like dying from working in audit. Yeah,
that was bad.
Yeah, and I actually say that in like, I think my sister, my cousin Lynn rather, reminds me every time. She's like, you know, I think the bravest thing you did for your life was to walk away from your job.
And change careers.
Yeah, because like, if you didn't quit your job, you were definitely going to die. You know,
oh, man.
Yeah,
that's bad.
Yeah, so I so like environments and like conducive environments, because you also say that you have to also understand the problems that you have in your life.
Sweet.
Because now, like, one, I am working a job and it's not working for me, I have to quit. That means I am leaving my livelihood. You know, there's no provision there. How do you strike that balance as a human being? I've been blessed and lucky to say that I have family that has like had my back, you know, like during my struggles. But I'm thinking
somebody
who doesn't have like a support system. like
yeah.
I did, and like if they quit their job, they're on their own.
I think
you know?
That's what people are scared of, and that's what, you know, puts people deep down into those trenches where they can't come back. They go to work just to, you know,
sustain themselves.
Yeah. And then you can't even do anything productive with the little you get.
Yeah.
You know, you won't even be thinking straight. So, yeah, you're very lucky that, unfortunately, that you went through that. How did you get into audit if you didn't? Okay, was it the stress, the too much work, or the type of work that you do?
Well,
auditors are hated by everybody.
No, like, I think I was never really fazed by that. Oh, people hate auditors. Like, because I was just like, first of all, as an auditor, I understand, as someone who used to be an auditor, I understand there's absolutely no reason why you should hate us. If you're doing things right, if you're doing everything right, you know, then I don't, and like, it's not like we're the police will come to you and be like, oh, we're arresting you because you're not doing this right. Or like your statements are not like, you know, like reported fairly and like, yada yada, all that audit jazz, you know. That's not what happens. We give an opinion. You get what I mean? And if you're complying with everything that you need to comply with, which is you doing your job well, then you shouldn't be able to hate an auditor. And like, like I remember my boss had asked someone to say, hey, listen, and they were in a whole different department. They were not even in the finance department. I think they were in the, it was an insurance company, so they were in the underwriting department and stuff like that, yeah?
Yes.
Which is basically something that, as auditors, we just, like, sweep through. We don't, like, you know, like, want to, like, dig deeply into that. And, like, my boss had asked her and said,
Ifeo, ever since we started coming here, what report have we made about you? Because he kept on saying, oh, you know, you auditors, we don't like you when you come here. He's like, can you actually tell us exactly what you don't like about us? So it's just a stereotype that, you know, people put out there, like, oh, I think the ones you should be worried about are the internal auditors, not us. not the external auditors, you know. Yeah. The internal ones are the ones that you should not like. Not the external. Okay, I'm sorry, internal auditors. But, like, I'm just... bashing, I'm just, you know. So for me I think it was because I studied something that I was never passionate about to begin with.
Okay,
and I understand that in Malawi, like, sometimes you've got to do what you've got to do.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
I had to study something because I needed to, like, I can't say, oh, I'm not gonna study because I don't like this, so I'm just gonna sit here. But I have to do something, you know.
Yeah,
I have to do something
thing,
to put bread, you know, bread on the table. So I think I keep thinking about, like, how do we reframe these conversations, because then I think it has to start in, like, young minds. Like, you have
exactly.
a son, like, what conversations are you having with him surrounding what careers look like, how to navigate life challenges and, like, you know, problems like that? Because like, I sincerely believe that it needs to start from the grassroots, you
that's
know?
True, that's true. Actually, before we get to that, I think a week ago, is it last week, we got the results for kids that are going to for these various universities, the government universities. And somebody put up a very good little article, which I saw. It says, not everybody's going to make it. Not everybody's going to, you know, go to the university that they wanted. It's not the end of life. Because, you know, there are people now, kids that wanted maybe to go to...
College of Medicine.
Why is college... How do you want to use College of Medicine?
Okay, Chanko.
Because why is that... Okay, it's a good school, yeah.
Chanko.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe let's Luana.
Okay.
Yeah, because I love farming, so yeah. Let's say, you know, Luana, and you didn't make it there. And you think that's the end of the world. But no, it's not. Because the article actually said, and gave an example of a young lady. I just forgotten her name, but I was very... It's an interesting story. She failed to go to... was it Chanko? Yeah, it was Chanko. But she ended up going to Adventist University. The one around Cheu. And she did so well there. She got a scholarship. She went outside the country. She got another scholarship, and she did two masters. Yeah, she's a doctor now.
Master CCs.
Yeah, so it's one of those things whereby in life you might not get what you want right there, but if you still stay focused and, you know, have a goal, you totally gonna get what you want.
Yeah.
So with my son, when he was younger, he said he wanted to be a fireman. I was like, yeesh. In Malawi, we only have like 2 fire trucks. But I never, you know, because he was really interested in being a fireman. I think something, I remember, was it when we started, when we were just friends, you referred me to a movie.
Yeah,
that little movie.
Yeah,
that was a fireman movie.
Yeah.
And we watched it with him. So it was nice. But as he's getting older, he says he wants to be a computer engineer like his dad. So I tell him, I'm not just a computer engineer. I do a lot of other things, you know. I'm an entrepreneur, so I love to, you know, invest and, you know. So he's starting to get to understand these things, that it's not just focusing on one thing. Nowadays he comes to me and says he wants to learn coding at his age, which is very interesting. So now I've started, you know, introducing him to these kids coding items. So it's, I think with the kids, let them be what they want to be, or imagine what they want to be.
Even
don't
if they
block
want
it.
To be an elephant?
well, no. I mean, you can explain to them, but I let him, you know, imagine the world that he wants to be. I just guide. Sometimes I tell him, oh, come see what I'm doing. I'm on the computer, I'm doing something. He goes like, oh, wow. I tell him, oh, look, I'm on the computer at the office right now. I've remote desktoped into a computer at the office, and I can do things that I do at the office
but
right
don't
here.
Don't look at me, look at the mic.
Yeah. What a beautiful...
Speak in the mic's direction.
All right, yeah. You know, I get passionate when I talk about Kendrick, but So, yeah, I'm having those conversations with him. And I think so far I'm happy with what he's thinking of doing. And, you know, from here we just
support and just guide.
Yeah.
So it's really good to start at a very young age, you know. They should have this imagination, they should understand how these things work. Even business, they should tell them, oh, in business this is what happens. Or sometimes you lose money. Sometimes I come to him and tell him, ash, we have lost that deal. You know, I now have, if you know, you know, I started a small business now. I sell, you know, pre-loved cakes. So sometimes I take him when I go to deliver these things. So I go to him and say, ah, you know, the client, Yamutina, so we're not making that money that we're excited to make.
Because
sometimes I rush from work and say, Kendrick, hurry up, let's go, because we've got a client to meet. And we go together and we're excited, and then the shoe client, doesn't fit.
And the client doesn't get it.
So he needs to, they need to understand these things. In life, you don't, you know, everything just doesn't go straight. Those little...
You can't get everything you want.
You know, it's those little things that you don't realize, but kids pick up a lot. Now they understand that, you know, sometimes things don't go out. You know, as they are growing, they will understand. You have these type of expectations, not just, you know, having them in a bubble.
I remember... Kobe Bryant, rest his soul, my dear husband. I remember he, in one of his interviews, he was basically talking about how he was like, oh, I owe everything to my father because of stop clowning. I owe everything to my father because of like how he's shaped my life. And he was basically talking about how like when he was just, you know, practicing and like becoming like the legend that he was, you know, in basketball, he said there were days when he would
like
not
Steph Curry.
Why do you have to bring up Steph Curry? No, we're not talking about Steph Curry. No. Not on my podcast. I refuse. So you're a guest, behave yourself. So I remember he basically said, he was talking about how like he went to basketball camp and he was, you know, he couldn't like make a single basket, you know, and then he felt so defeated and depleted, like you know, like, oh man, I'm not like good at this. And he said he will always remember, and this is actually what pushed him to like, you know, be the person that he was, you know, in the lifetime that he lived. His dad said to him, you know, whether you score or you don't, at the end of the day, I still love you, you know, like my love for you will not change, you know. And that like actually like spearheaded him to like say, okay, if I've got love to fall back on, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, push, you know, whether I'm gonna keep trying, whether I fail or not, I still have love at home. Because I know that for the most part, kids, you know, kids will come back home
scared,
like, oh, I'm position 15, I can't go back home and talk to my parents, you know. I can't go back home because they're going to shout at me and like all that jazz. And I know that there's also been cases of people succumbing to suicide due to failing in school. And because like of all the pressure that they're getting from home to like, oh, you have to come here and be an A+ student. And even harder for students, I mean, even harder for kids who maybe have like parents who are like, I don't know, your dad's a doctor, your mother is a doctor, you know.
You gotta be a doctor.
You have to be a doctor, or you can't fail. You know, you have to pick up one of these professions. You either have to be a lawyer or an engineer. I don't know what else.
An entrepreneur. I'm joking.
That could also board. Like,
but that also, you know, goes to money. And having a capital, which is a problem in Malawi.
Yeah.
You don't understand, man. Someday you should just do a podcast about investments and everything. I want to talk about investments one of these days. And now these banks don't understand.
We can talk about that for like the next 10 minutes and then we sign out. We can talk about it for the next 10 minutes. Or do you want us to stop here because you think people don't want to listen to you talk for 40 minutes?
No, but that was 33, that would be dope.
Do you want us to stop at 33:33?
No. Let's continue. This conversation is flowing. It's good.
Okay.
When I said I want to talk about investments, it's also something
that you can come back on another podcast. And
it's 5 minutes. Let's say this. You know, as even in relationships, we should be talking about these things, man. It's good to make money, but it's good to invest. It's good to, you know, also think about this aspect of how we're gonna, you know, provide for ourselves, how we're gonna in life, if we are going to the next steps in life, how we're gonna sustain ourselves.
What is the next step?
those interesting parts of our lives.
Yeah.
We also need to talk about finances. I think this is one thing in relationships that people don't do. And I feel like it's very necessary because
we have already talked about how it's straining if you if these things, these conversations don't come through. But I also want to say, just on your own or together, please guys, let's, you know, think of ways to, you know, make a little something on the side. So it's unfortunate that here in Malawi you can have a very brilliant idea.
I think it's a global thing though, babe.
It's a global thing.
I don't think it's just here in Malawi. No, well, I mean, some countries are better than Malawi.
Way better. Let me give an example. If I've got a very good business plan, a very good idea, let me not put farming, because maybe there's so much that goes into farming and so many mishaps in farming. Yeah, but if you have maybe a good business plan, let's say, I won't talk about any of my business because I'll be giving out
your ideas.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think of something random.
Maybe
like if you can, okay, buy and supply. If you've got a buy and supply business, and it looks, the numbers look good, but you need capital just to start that business. Because all the banks or all these financial institutions are going to tell you you need security. I'm just looking at a perspective where you're a young guy, maybe you're just done with or girl, young person, because I believe girls are even more entrepreneurial. What's the right word?
And that's the right word, I think, because I don't know what the right word is.
It's not. But anyway, yeah, the minds are fresh too when it comes to business. So I'm just thinking, man, maybe you have done with university, or you're even waiting for to get into uni, or you have missed the
getting
opportunity.
Into university.
What can you do? Maybe your parents can't really give you two million just like that. But if you got a bank with a good business plan, this bank should really understand. It doesn't need the security if the business plan works. And not all kids are going to be given $2 million and they're going to put it all out. Some people are really out there and they can make it happen.
It's a risky business.
Yeah, but okay, so the risk is there. But isn't there insurance for this type of businesses?
If someone is looking for $2 million to start a business,
and they don't have,
they don't have insurance money for say business, unless you say that the banks that provide the loans also provide insurance for say business, so that they also end up.
Yeah. It's even a business model. It's even more money for them. Yeah. You know, I'm giving out issues here that can make them more money. But anyway, until
I
then,
actually think about that.
Yeah, but
is
you
that
see,
a thing?
It's a thing. It works. It's a model that can work. Yeah. You give let's say you give me $2 million. I've got a business that I will invest. You tell me you invest 1.5. The 500 you take out 100 for insurance. You create an insurance policy for me. Then maybe you give me financial.
So
education.
Is the insurance policy for you or for the bank? So
for
that
the business,
because I know the banks,
both ways.
The banks already the
have
loans
insurance.
That they give you, they already
have
insurance.
Exactly. So the other insurance is just going down to your business, which works.
Yeah, but like they still take that if you don't give them the money, if you deep, they still chase you for that money, and yet they have insurance.
I don't know how that works. They want them to go back office. I don't know how that works, but anyway.
Yeah.
But you see, these are the things that what stresses people. You can ease up some of these issues by just giving people, you know. I know there's NIF, but I don't know how it works. I've never
I think the return period for NIF is very short. I know someone who was trying to get a loan with them. And they're like, oh, you have to give the money back in 12 months. And like, looking at the current economy, come on.
It's impossible.
It's very
unrealistic. Make it 24 months. Make it 24 months. Half the amount they can pay in a month. I mean, some of these things can really work. I just feel like there's so much because... I don't know if I should give this example, but I once worked with a young man. You know, one of those things where we're maybe winding up a business and then I needed some help. I recruited a guy that helped me wipe machines for a company because I do that. I do forensics sometimes. So we had a little gig where we just had to wipe clean machines so that they move to the next
company.
Yeah,
next
without
company. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, without any information.
Yeah.
I worked 3 days with this kid. I gave him some decent money because he was coming all the way from Doha. But up to today, he still sends me the same CV that he still hasn't worked ever since.
Oh,
and it's been 2 years. Imagine that type of person. And all he does is send me a CV on SMS every 2 months or so. I've tried to, you know, throw it around, but it doesn't work. So imagine how that person feels. He was a brilliant kid.
He is. Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah, he is. Because I worked with him then. But yeah, he is. He still is. But never. No, he was a brilliant kid. He is a brilliant kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where I go like, this kid has good potential. If maybe they give, imagine just, you know, you can start a business with $1 million.
Mm.
You can start a repair shop, a small computer repair shop.
Mm.
If this kid was given that opportunity and they start, I don't think they'll blow it.
Yeah.
He's been out of work for 2 years. Up to today, he still says, boss, sometimes I think he would be calling me if he had your credit, but he just sends me an SMS with his CV. Please let me know if there's something. So it's one of those things where people are like, come on, guys, it's $1 million, which a bank, and these banks that we hear, they're making $12 billion. Why can't they just set aside $1 billion and say, okay, risk, we will take the risk.
Yeah.
Let's see how many.
Let's
we
see.
Throw it out
kind
there.
Kind of like a social...
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where...
Social initiative?
I'm
what's
sorry,
the word?
I
corporate
in,
social
responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah,
but in a... Not in Kumaka Pereka, my blanket or Janjan.
Yeah.
Not that that's not right, but... Look at into these things where you change people's lives by teaching them how to fish, not giving them fish. Yeah, sorry, we've gotten to 40.
Okay.
I think I took 7 minutes in financial
you took 7 minutes.
Talks, but it's something I'm passionate about, so you have to understand.
So maybe we should actually do. I was actually talking with my to say like basically this like youth training yada yada thing that you guys did to say that like. You people have like different passions. Okay, this is her baby, so I'll let you talk to her. I'll let you talk. I'll let her talk to you about that. But like, basically, there's a lot that like the organizations in Malawi can do, you know,
very
help individuals outside of like just trying to look good, you know, to say, oh, takapeleka mablangeti, like you said, you know, when you can actually sit down and like help these people. I don't think if the banks give out loans for like 500k in like. Not 500k and
with
then,
a little interest.
With a little
talk
interest
to
regulators
if it's a problem.
Yeah.
The interest rates you can even put them at 5%.
Yeah, and
these
let
kids
just
are gonna
let the little people fish.
Yeah.
This was good, baby. Thank you for coming on.
You're welcome anytime. Do we get any allowance or anything for coming
boy,
on?
Boy bye.
and live. I came live. Transport man.
me being your girlfriend is an allowance enough.
Thank you very much. You're amazing.
That is an allowance enough. Thank you so much from the Little Mental Health Project. You were with me, Colina, Genesis, Kambule, and...
Kama Cliff, a.k.a.
Oh, my good Lord.
Kama Cliff Jimseo. Most people know me as Kama, those that are close to me. Those in the social scene know me as Cliff. But yeah.
Was that a Crifody?
The
like
bank.
Standard Bank knows you as Crifody.
Why are you giving out my ID?
Oh boy. Alright guys, it's been real. Bye.
Alright, cheers guys.